Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Doing exceedingly well, thank you very much.
Great.
Mm-hmm. When the weather is this beautiful, I do exceedingly well.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Cold and rainy, you know, I kind of have to find my willingness. But when it's sunshiny and warm and beautiful, and it's rained enough that there's no fire danger.
Yes.
I am just the happiest of humans.
And the reservoirs are full.
Are they?
Well, when we have some rain.
That's right. And I'm seeing snow on the cars coming down from the mountains.
Wow.
And I saw someone with a ski tag on their jacket. So, life is good.
It's that time of year again, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What? The years just go by.
Don't they? They just have a habit of doing which is a real argument for paying attention.
Uh-huh.
Because otherwise, you know, they just slide on by and we don't notice.
Uh-huh.
But if we're paying close attention, then they continue to go by, but we're present to them and we get to enjoy them more.
Wow. And as I've heard you talk about, you know, when we're little and we have summer vacation, it goes on forever.
Yes.
Or it feels like it.
Yes. Till my birthday, you know, nobody's going to live that long.
Yes.
My favorite always was between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Uh-huh.
You know, between when you're a little kid, Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas. It's like, wow.
Yes.
You know, it's just you finally make it to Halloween, and then Thanksgiving is just way, way out there, and then Christmas is an eternity away.
I know.
Although now I've noticed that just right after Halloween, the Christmas decorations started going up. So I thought, well, boy, it's even worse for kids than it was when I was little.
Yes.
Now you have to wait like 2 months for Christmas instead of just 1 month.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so as we get older, what we want to do is pay really close attention so we get back into that spaciousness that we experienced as children, instead of as we get older and we're lost more in our conditioned minds and worrying about this and worrying about that and maintaining all of this nonsense that we maintain, like our identity and survival systems and all of those kinds of things. And then life just flies by and we hear people say, oh my gosh, is it Christmas again? Wasn't it just Christmas last month? And you know, see, it's a dead giveaway. Don't ever say that, because it's a dead giveaway that you're not paying attention. You're living most of your life unconscious. That's why it seems to be going so fast. There's little tips, you know, because if you're talking to somebody who's conscious, then they're going to go, missed last year, huh? Well, what were you doing? And of course, they know what you were doing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Making to-do lists.
Yes. Wow. Sherry, the phones are ringing here already.
Already?
Which is great.
That's very great.
Before we get to that call, let me just give a couple of quick announcements.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to join our conversation today, give us a call at 650-723-9010. We'll be talking about everything under the sun. If you want to reach us by email instead, you can reach us at openair@kzsu.org. Archives of today's show and all of our previous shows are available at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. And finally, Sherry, we have a big event in 2 weeks.
Just 2 weeks?
2 weeks away.
I've got to go shopping.
What are you going to buy?
Well, something stunning to wear.
Oh,
yeah.
Me too.
You too, huh?
Yes.
So what are we going to be doing again?
In 2 weeks, we're going to be at Tryon Hall on the Stanford University campus for a live audience edition of this very radio show. Yes, and it's going to be a special two-hour show.
Lovely.
Double the fun, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
So people should arrive early with a lot of topics for conversation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the time to, you know, I've always wondered about, or what I'm looking at in my life right now, or I don't understand how a person can, if as long as this, or what do you do in a situation when, or I found that it really works for me to, all of those kinds of things that we talk about with our friends, or talk about inside the privacy of our own little conditioned mind, or wherever it is that we're doing that. A good opportunity for us to get lots of perspective from lots of folks in a big freewheeling discussion.
Oh, yes. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Parking can be a little bit of a challenge on campus, so I want to give out a website for people, and that is transportation.stanford.edu. It has lots of good directions and maps and stuff like that.
And if people are directionally challenged, as I am, it would be a good idea to get there a little ahead of time, because in my experience, it can be kind of confusing there, especially in the dark.
Absolutely.
So even with directions, it's finding your way around to find the spots on the directions. That can be challenging.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. And that's 2 weeks from today, and the discussion will start exactly at 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Shall we go to the phone line, Sherry?
Sure.
I'd like to welcome Donna from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi. Hello, Sherry.
Hi.
It's Donna, and I'm reporting back as you requested.
That's right. You had a homework assignment, huh?
I did. And, I had work to do, and you told me to treat it as a workshop.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I did.
And what happened?
And the results?
Well, and now, if to refresh people's memory, a relative that you have, somebody in your life that you're not likely to get rid of, and that's by choice.
Right.
And you have essentially the same relationship with this person that you had with your late mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of what I remember as the net result of that is that a feeling that you can't really be yourself, you put something out there and it's not well received, and you often kind of leave the interactions feeling like an unhappy little kid.
Yeah, a very unhappy little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good summary of it. And so what you said to me last week was, you asked when I would see this person again, and I told you I would see them in a day or two. And you suggested that I have a conversation with my four-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was have that conversation, more than one,
uh-huh.
in the next couple of days with the four-year-old. And it turns out she was really happy to stay home from any of those encounters.
Uh-huh. She doesn't have a real need for a relationship with this particular relative.
No.
She'd just be perfectly happy if you, as a grown-up, would go do the interactions.
Right. Right.
Excellent.
She was feeling as if she didn't have to. She was happy to take a nap.
Uh-huh.
So.
Ooh, she really didn't want to go. She was happy to take a nap.
No. No. So what actually happened was then about 2 days after I spoke with you, I did have a conversation with that relative, and before I went into it, I really thought about what I needed to do to make myself okay with the upcoming holidays. That was one of the
mm-hmm.
major issues for me.
Uh-huh.
And so I went ahead and made the holiday arrangements that suited me.
Excellent.
And I announced it.
Uh-huh.
I said, this is what I'm doing. And everyone said, fine. Okay, we'll be there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So am I, if I'm understanding that, you didn't go in kind of as a needy little person asking for approval.
No.
You went in as a pretty centered adult and put out your mm-hmm. perspective, and people mm-hmm. said, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I went away from that day, and I, on Sunday, was a kind of difficult day in terms of I spent time at the cemetery doing a little cleanup at the grave and just had sort of an emotional little talk with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling kind of sorry for myself that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been invited to dinner at this relative's, and I was thinking, do I really want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And because I was having a hard day already, and I thought, I don't know what to do. So I did as you suggested, which is getting to that quiet place and being okay with myself, being at center.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went there, and I had a great time at dinner.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting to.
Uh-huh.
I felt welcomed. I felt like I was actually a welcome guest,
yeah.
which was surprising.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we just finished this projection class that mm-hmm. you've probably heard a great deal about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that always comes up when we're looking at projection is exactly what you're talking about. So you have this interaction with this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And from that perspective, this is what's going on. This is who this person is. This is mm-hmm. the view of the world. This is what you get. It's always been this way. It's always going to be mm-hmm. this way. Then you step out of the position that you've been in. You, mm-hmm. as in our lingo, you step out of that aspect of the personality, that four-year-old child.
Right.
You come to a centered place. Now you've got a centered, conscious, aware grown-up there, and suddenly this other person seems to have changed dramatically.
Well, it gets even richer than that.
Wow.
I mean, I think I've come to realize that I do have a particular pattern of interacting with this person. I mean, there's this old four-year-old pattern in me, but additionally, this person and I, we've known each other about 10 years, and we have a pattern of interacting, and my pattern of interacting is I base my response to a present situation from what went on between us in the past.
Uh-huh.
And that gets in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not even dealing with the current person.
No.
Yeah. You're dealing with your projection mm-hmm. from your perception of a previous encounter.
Right. And add on to that the fact that I had that similar kind of pattern with my mother.
Mm.
And so then I was afraid of that old reaction, not just from this person, but old reactions from
sure.
childhood.
Sure, yeah.
I think, so.
Yeah.
But
ooh!
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But the most amazing part was I interacted with this person today, actually just a couple of hours before this phone call, and I announced, I'm getting good at this announcing stuff. I announced that I had bought these Christmas presents, and I was expecting to hear something negative, and what I heard was, oh, that's exactly what I had on the list for the kids. That's so great.
Wow.
And then what happened was just what you said last week. We got into a conversation where it seemed that we both wanted to get into some deeper issues, some willingness to talk about the holiday and the difficulties it was going to bring, and the fact that I was probably going to need a little more support through the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and that this person was willing to do that.
Wow.
I was amazed. I mean, uh-huh. I'm actually still kind of shaking from that whole encounter.
Mm-hmm. Now, people will say, Sherry, mm-hmm. you can sound a little negative on occasion,
mm-hmm.
okay? But what I would be remiss if I didn't remind you not to relax for a second. Now, of course, you can relax utterly from center,
mm-hmm.
but not to relax in a way that would, conditioning would say, oh, well, okay, everything is behind us now, it's fine. You can just go ahead and let that four-year-old go to the Christmas gathering.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, 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 no. You have Christmas at home with the four-year-old, uh-huh. and you take your most adult-centered, grown-up mm-hmm. self to the family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's I just bring that up because that's a huge part of a conditioned reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whew, that's behind me. I can just go back to sleep now, go unconscious, go back to the old patterns. And then, of mm-hmm. course, we're shocked and amazed when, in fact, we return immediately to that old way. So we've got to, as you very well know, just moment by moment by moment mm-hmm. by moment, stay right here, right here, right here, conscious, present, aware, awake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's the part that sometimes looks very ominous to me,
mm-hmm.
the fact that as soon as I have gone unconscious, the old pattern just seeps right in, and
oh,
it's there before I
yes.
before I can blink.
That's right. That's right. It takes a split second. It's like if you were at the movies and you just close your eyes to rest them for a second, and they changed the scene,
mm-hmm.
okay, and now suddenly you don't know where you are and mm-hmm. what's going on and who are these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the fact of the matter is, if you had your eyes open, the scene would have changed too.
Mm-hmm.
But there wouldn't be that disorientation that happens when we haven't been there for the change.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's critical. And, of course, if we do go unconscious, then we take a deep breath, get back here, get as centered as we can, and start where we are. Kind of, you know, again, conditioned mind will want us to go back over, well, now, did somebody say something, or how did this, you know, and you can't do that. It's like, this is where the sports analogies come in, you know. The game is still going on. You can't stop in the middle of the action to review the last two plays.
Right.
I'm here. And, of course, for me, it's never helpful to review the last plays because the game is always going on. Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing that I tend to forget, just in my life in general. It's going back to replay old stuff.
Exactly.
And there's no reason to.
There's no reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really not helpful. And what people will do, what seems like a safe way to do that, is, okay, I'll stay really conscious and present through the gathering. But then on the drive home, mm-hmm. that would be a time to review it. No, on the drive home is a good time for the drive home.
Right.
And we want to be just as present for that, even though conditioned mind would say, but there's nothing going on the drive home.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back and think about what happened and see if there are any insights or anything to be learned from. And the answer is no. There aren't any insights available. There's nothing to be learned. Any insights that are going to come to me will come to me while I'm driving home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to try to go back in time to see something that I missed before.
I think sometimes I forget that it's important for me to accept that I already learned whatever it is
yes.
I learned from that situation.
Yes.
And whatever that experience was, it will be available to me somewhere.
Yes, and that's what that
needed.
Was. That's what that was.
Yeah.
And this is what this is. And that kind of, again, conditioned thinking that we've been given,
mm-hmm.
Has us continue to miss this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss this moment trying to get something out of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all a part of a belief system that says there is something other than what's right here, right now
mm-hmm.
that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
But right here, right now is everything that I could ever want and need. I just have to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm really here, it doesn't matter what happened then, and it doesn't matter what's going to happen
right.
in the future, because this is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right here, even if I'm just driving home late at night.
Right.
Yeah, all the joy, all the clarity, all the love, the acceptance, the compassion, the bliss, the gratitude, the everything that I might ever want to experience is available right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I am so grateful for being able to talk to you.
Well.
And I'm grateful for the practice.
It, yep.
Sometimes I get daunted by the fact that I seem to, you know, go back to the old pattern. And
we do.
And that's just how it is.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can, with great confidence, wish you happy holidays, huh?
Oh, thank you.
And you'll keep us posted.
Thank you. I will.
All right.
I will. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Donna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can call us at 650-723-9010. Sherry, I was listening to Donna, and I realized that it's always a shock to me when reality doesn't match up with what my conditioning had predicted.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things, isn't it? It's sobering. It can be alarming.
Yes.
It can be liberating. It can be fun. Depends on where we are when we're looking at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but to step into that place of, I thought it was that, and I can see now that it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually really like that. I was doing something the other day, and You know, there are a few, as it, with everybody, there are some people who work very closely with me and are around me a lot, and somebody said, well, you know, you blah, 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 and laid out kind of how I approach life. And you know, that's not my experience, because it seems to me that da-da-da-da-da. It was one of those, huh. You mean you see it completely differently? How's that possible? How could you be that wrong? And of course, they're not. And so just that quick step back into there is no objective reality.
Yes.
We're projecting our own orientation onto everything all the time, and to be able to see beyond that kind of deep assumption is really fun.
Absolutely.
And just, I mean, it can be as simple as seeing something and somebody says, isn't that beautiful? And and you're the person thinking, no, actually, that's not the word I would have selected to describe that.
Yes.
And then to look at it and see how somebody might see it as beautiful, to see if it's possible to kind of tweak the awareness or the perception to say, oh, yeah, well, then, sure. If I had an orientation that made those colors, those shapes, those whatever appealing, then, yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. As you were talking, Sherry, an image occurred to me of going around, just trying to put a box around everything.
Yeah.
So that I can understand it.
Yes. So that my conditioned mind can find a place on the shelf for it.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of
scary.
Instead
of that, I never can remember what his name was, but the Korean Zen master who his, and maybe still is, he could very well be alive, I have no idea, only don't know.
Uh-huh.
Only don't know mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, that's the place to get to. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sherry's phones are still ringing here.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Elizabeth from Santa Cruz. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Sherry's phones are still ringing here.
Good. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. Sherry?
Yes.
Hi, Sherry, and hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
I'm afraid I'm about to ruin a beautiful moment of I don't know mind by asking you this.
You mean you're afraid that I won't answer with I don't know?
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Now
it could happen.
You've assuaged my anxiety. Well, I'm one of the lucky people who were in the workshop at the Zen Center last week. That there's nothing wrong with you workshop.
Oh, uh-huh.
The retreat. And it was so wonderful. And we just finished on Friday. And I've just been internally bouncing around and kind of euphoric ever since then. And I find myself saying all these things in my head, like, oh, I want to become a person who meditates every day. And I want to become more awake and more aware. And I want to stop being at the mercy of projection. And I want to understand projection and all these things. And my question to you is the desire to change something in myself always a symptom of self-hate?
Well, yes. My best encouragement would be to just nip that in the bud.
Because my conditioned mind is saying, well, you can't accept yourself just as you are because you now have all these great new ambitions about how you want to be because of all
the answer to that
stuff.
Is hogwash. Yeah. So I can't remember this. This is written down somewhere, I think, but it's just one of my favorite quotes on this subject.
Okay.
I love you exactly the way you are, and I'll help you be any way you want to be. Okay.
Hmm.
So you know, if you had a small child who walked around saying, I want to be a fire person, because you're in Santa Cruz, right? And
yeah.
You would have a politically correct child.
I would, absolutely.
Absolutely. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be... You wouldn't need to either tell the child, you know, that's not possible or realistic. You're only three. And you wouldn't need to start making plans for these careers. Okay, what you would do is essentially say, oh, nice. Nice. Oh, good. Oh, fun. Oh, whatever you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you would hear it, but you wouldn't believe that it necessarily means anything. And in that way, if it's coming from an aspect of the personality who's just really excited and enthusiastic, you know, in the way that I walk around regularly saying, if I had a parallel life, and then, you know, I tell you what I would do with that parallel life.
Because
if I'm, you know, if I'm looking at buildings that I love in my parallel life, I'll be an architect. If I'm looking at paintings that I love in my parallel life, I'm an artist.
I understand that one.
Yeah. And so, yes, all of those things are true. You know, sometimes I'll say, you know, I'd love to open a little cafe with blah, 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 blah. And, you know, those same people who are close to me will say, Sherry, you already have a job. But that doesn't change that, oh, I would love to, because it's fun. Yes, I would love to. If that translates into there's something wrong with my life now, I need to fix something, change something, I'm soon going to be unhappy because the way I am pales in comparison to these dreams of how I, okay, now conditioned mind, self-hatred has grabbed a hold of that process and is using it for its own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why it's tricky for me to tell what part of me this enthusiasm is really coming from.
Well,
is it this joyful, eager creature, or is it the
there's another, to me, there's another clue in your language. And that is this thing I am at the gym working out. And the voice says, you know, I should do this more often. I want to be a person who works out all the time. And what that's doing at a very subtle level is negating the fact that I'm doing it right now. And I heard that in your language. The implication is you are not that now. And so the ante is up. I want to be a person who meditates every day.
Yeah.
Okay, instead of, hey, I'm a person who's paying attention. I'm a person who's awake right now. I'm a person who's having a really good time and enjoying life and enjoying the awareness that I have.
Oh, that sounds like the heart of it.
Yeah.
Because this conditioning is saying, well, if you accept yourself as you are completely, then you'll never be anything but what you are right now.
Yeah, and the answer to that is horse pucky.
Horse pucky and hogwash.
Horse pucky and hogwash. And it's an ugly mixture, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's very, very familiar.
Yeah. And so you just, that's the importance of listening very carefully to what the voices are saying.
Mm.
And in order to do that, of course, we have to identify with the conscious, compassionate awareness that can listen, not believe, not take it personally, not take it on. Because if not, then the alternative to that is I am listening as a personality who is going to believe it, take it on, take it personally, need to do something about it. And, of course, what I do about it is get unhappy. Because instead of enjoying the fact that I'm awake right now, it's taking me into, but this means this and that means that. And pretty soon, three or four sentences later, I'm an unhappy person because how I am now, which is awake and joyful, is being translated into less than I could be somewhere out in the future if I would go back to self-improvement.
Oh, that's so beautifully put. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank
My
you
pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSG Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, the phones are still ringing here.
Good. That's why we have a live call-in show.
Yes. And if you want to get in the queue here, give us a call at 650-723-9010. We're going to take a quick break. Coming up at 6 p.m., we have DJ Decca and DJ Fo with At the Cafe Bohemian. There's a special tonight. We have guest DJ Choboriba presenting an all-Japanese pop special. And then at 8 p.m. tonight, we'll have CW. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I was listening to our previous caller, and it's interesting how conditioning keeps upping the ante about our commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we make a commitment to wake up and suffering, and then that's not good enough because the bar gets raised, it seems.
Yes. In the recent email class, somebody wrote in and said, you know, you make it sound like conditioning is sort of the equivalent of the neighborhood bully, you know, sort of following us around and doing these things. And I thought, well, yes. As a matter of fact, I make it sound like that because that's my experience,
uh-huh.
and that's what I hear from people. You know,
yes.
here's Elizabeth, just done this work, and it sounds like worked really hard and got a lot out of it.
Yes.
And then there's this voice coming in, just days, you know, afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to, well, if this, well, if that, well,
mm-hmm.
And now, what is that, if not bullying? Can we construe that as a helpful voice?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, again, you know, if that were a friend of mine talking to me that way, I would think, what happened to our friendship? Because it doesn't sound like you're on my side. You know, I feel really great. Well, but, you know, if you just feel great now, what's going to happen to, you know, what if you lose your edge? What if you,
right.
What is your problem?
Right.
Yeah. So, I think that conditioned mind is not there to serve us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an argument could be made that it was helpful at some point. I doubt it,
mm-hmm.
but might have been. But certainly, it is not helpful to us now.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, I'd like to welcome our next caller.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Elizabeth from Berkeley. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
It's the Elizabeth night.
I know, right in a row. I think this might fit in with some of the theme here, but I'm just wondering what you would say about the tendency to let the conditioning come up with the dark kind of thoughts that lead to suicide as a solution for problems. I have that tendency. I'm hearing it in other people these days, and I know, you know, I had read, you know, that's part of your story, and I just want to know how to...
Okay. Well, here's my best take on it. I think it is helpful to listen to the voices until we get who they are. So if I, you know, I have a board of directors. I'm the head of the company, and I have a board of directors, and there are 20 people on the board. And I want to listen to their opinions until I get what goes on with them. Because, you know, as much as we like to think we're really spontaneous, free-thinking people, we tend not to be. So here's the person who always looks at life this way, and here's a person who's coming from this perspective, and this one, you know, always says what we need to do is cut back, and this one says, this one comes from a fear place, and this one is always gung-ho no matter what, and this person, okay? So I listen until I really get which perspective goes with which person. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And then as those voices come up, I can know that, yes, that's going to be that perspective, and yes, that's that one, and yes, that's that one, and yes, that's that one. Now, with my board, I will want to continue to listen to them because that's the relationship we have. With the voices of conditioning, it is no longer necessary to pay attention to them after you get who they are, what they're doing, and what they're saying. So if I had a voice inside my head that said, I hate life, this is really miserable, I think suicide is the answer, then that would be a flag for me. Now, there are two things about that, okay? I think suicide is the answer. The other way of putting that is, this is miserable, I hate it, I think you should kill yourself. You know, those are slightly different
mm-hmm.
perspectives. Okay, then that would be a flag that, there's something going on here, right? But do I need to get in a conversation with somebody who wants to commit suicide? No, I do not. Not after I am clear about that relationship. Because with conditioning, conditioning always comes from the same place every time. So if I have a piece of me for whom suicide is always the answer, that's always going to be the answer. On a bright, sunshiny day when everything's going my way, if I check in with that part of the personality, it's going to say suicide is the only answer. Are you with me? Yeah. So indulging that, to me, is not helpful or necessary. So it's just a matter of, there's that again, and then I go right back to the things that I know are important for me to focus on to remember what's going on and where I am and how to be in the present and get here. So if those kinds of things are coming up, that can be a signal. I want to focus on the breath here. I need to get in the present. Not, I need to go off and have a conversation with this person about the advantages and benefits of suicide.
And sometimes it can be so compelling that even the other tools, I can turn that into a negative thing too. Like
the aspects of the personality that are looking to turn things into, in quotes, has to be in quotes, negative, are going to do that with everything. So conditioning, the conditioned mind, something wrong mind, not enough mind, suffering mind, is going to turn everything in life into that. We can just count on it. And that's why once we recognize that, it's up to us to say, got it, drop that, come back to the breath, come back to the body, come back to the senses, get here, let it go. Okay? Good. All right, thank you.
Yeah, there just seems like there's another piece, though.
Yes, it's called willingness. And for me, because that's what people get into. Okay, I know that, but how do I do it? And it comes from willingness, and unfortunately, from a Zen perspective, if I can be so bold as to claim that, we find that willingness when we've suffered enough. When we get to that point of, there's the path, I can walk down that path, and I can become the center of the universe, absolutely miserable. Is that attractive to me? Yes. Okay, well then I'm going to go down that path again. And one day, if I'm very, very, very lucky, I will look down that path and realize I can be center of the universe, indulging emotion, the most important special thing in the world, because I am so miserable. I look at that and say, you know, I just don't want to indulge that one more time. I would just rather drop that and come back and be here. I choose authentic nature. Yeah, it doesn't make me the center of the universe. Good. I understand where choosing egocentricity takes me. I'm no longer willing to give my life over to that.
And so just always say it's egoic karmic conditioning and you've got to make another choice here.
That's right. That's right. This is not making me happy. I need to get back in the moment. Yeah. I need to get back here.
And then whatever way to come back.
Well, the tried and true way is just drop it and come back to the breath. Come back to your body. Come back to your senses. Be where you are. As that old Zen sage, Sharon Gless, said, look down at your feet, see where you are, get there. That's the place to be. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. Sherry, it occurred to me at the end of the conversation there that the name of one of your books is The Key, and the name of the key is willingness.
Willingness opens every door.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my little one-liners about that is that willingness is what's there when I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we cultivate, if you will, in awareness practice. That's what sitting does for us. You know, almost nobody wants to sit in meditation. I mean, people get passionate about it temporarily, but, you know, when it gets down to the old arm wrestle for who's going to have possession of one's life,
uh-huh.
And conditioning starts working its magic, almost everybody struggles with sitting. And what we do in our sitting practice is find the willingness to be there and to stay present. So in the beginning, people use that time as an opportunity to fantasize and make plans and indulge all kinds of activities. And then if we stay with it, if we find the willingness to stay with it, that an interest in that falls away. And increasingly, we are willing to drop whatever is coming up to try to distract us and pull us out of the moment. We drop it, we come back to the breath. We drop it, we come back to the breath. And that really puts us in a position to be able to do that in life when we're out walking around doing other things. And it's all this, I mean, once we get that it's that clear, you can either suffer or not suffer. So as they say in Landmark, suffer, don't suffer, choose. You know, that, I mean, it's just, that's it. And once you know, indulging those thought patterns, taking yourself down those old pathways of misery, whatever that is, you know, ain't it awful, oh my God, they did that, I'll never, it doesn't, well, what if, the future, the past, once you get it, that doing that is suffering, and that it's as simple as turning the attention away from that and to here, to the present, to the breath, and all of that goes away, and there is no suffering. You know, I mean, once you get that, you just have to check in with, and why exactly would I choose to suffer?
Uh-huh.
And then you get it, because it's ego, because it's karmic conditioning, because, you know, in Buddhism, we talk about the hungry ghosts, because it's all of that stuff that feeds off of the energy of misery and wants to, you know, like the Elizabeth the First, you know, walking around in life just being perfectly happy,
uh-huh.
and there's something wanting to siphon that off and turn her life into misery.
Yes.
You know, do I want to give my life over that? No, I don't. So, golly darn, I'm just developing the willingness to drop it and come back here and be present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so what are we doing? Do we have more callers?
Not at this moment.
Oh, excellent. So do you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Well, I have a couple of email questions here.
All right. Well, I want to talk about something else first then.
And okay,
we'll
great.
See if we can get to that. In fact, I mentioned this to you earlier when we were talking, that I was actually talking to our yoga teacher, we were talking about Pilates, as a matter of fact. And she said, well, you know, the more you give, the more you get. And, I mean, it was just one of those stop moments. Now, that is not a new concept for me by any means. And,
yes.
Of course, you can't have grown up in this, or perhaps any culture, without the it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yes.
Sort of notion, and I, as I was telling you, one of the things that I talk about with the monks all the time is this idea that it's only by throwing ourselves wholeheartedly into life, holding nothing back in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I have one little ounce of trying to keep something for myself, I lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I give wholeheartedly, I get everything back.
Mm-hmm.
And that little sentence that she said just captured that in a way that I had never, you know, I just never heard it that succinctly. You know,
uh-huh.
the more you give, the more you get. And so I said it to somebody who said, you know, if you're going to make a bumper sticker out of that, I don't know if I could put that on my car because, you know, I mean, isn't somebody going to think, well, what did you give? And I said, well, you know, are you thinking this was money? Because, you know, there are all kinds of applications for this. You know, if you're a tightwad, then, you know, you might not want to answer that question. But, you know, it's just with everything. You know, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. The more love you give, the more you get. The more happiness you attempt to bring to life, the more you receive, because we get what we're doing. That's, you know, if I'm loving somebody with all my heart and mind and soul, then my experience is total love. It doesn't matter what somebody is, how somebody feels about me. I'm not going to ever get that anyway. Hard as that is for people to accept, you know, because it's all projection. So I'm only going to get what I'm giving, what I'm doing. That's what's going to be my experience. So if I'm loving unconditionally, then I'm going to feel loved unconditionally. In fact, you know, somebody else might not be able to convince me that they don't love me. Okay? Because it's just not my experience.
Yes.
So, you know, when we are thinking about what to do as an alternative to going down that conditioned path of karmic misery, that's something we can do. Okay, we can come back here, come back to the breath, come back to this moment, and just throw ourselves wholeheartedly into this very moment where we are. Just giving everything we've got to life in this moment. And that, you know, what we're gonna get back is exactly that and more.
Wow. Wow. Well, what a prescription.
Oh, and you know, it's free.
It's free.
Right? I mean, how many things in life are like that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If we had to do something to get this, then, you know, we'd be back again, you know, with what the voices are telling Elizabeth.
Yes.
Well, you've got to change. You've got to do this. You've got to be improved. You've got to be. Mm-hmm. But you don't. Just exactly as you are right now, throw yourself wholeheartedly into the moment that you're in. And the reward is bliss.
Wow. Great. Sherry, people are still calling us here.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. They got something to say.
I'm loving this conversation, so I'm hoping they are too.
Great.
See, because projection, you see, I'm getting out of it what I'm putting into it.
Absolutely.
I'm having a great time. So, you know, if they're not having a great time, you couldn't convince me of it.
Here we go.
All right.
I'd like to welcome George from Chicago. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening, George.
Good evening. Just want to call in and say hello and have a comment and say hi to Sherry. I met you briefly when you were in Chicago a couple months ago down at Transitions for the day.
Uh-huh.
And so...
And a good time we had, huh?
A good time we had, and we... gave you a van ride down to the hotel, as a matter of fact.
That's right. I recall it very well, and thank you for that.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Well, I'm calling about it. I'm hearing all of this that you're talking about, and I'm sort of new to this, really only maybe in the last 8 or 9 months, and still trying to put some of the pieces together. But when I try to focus on the be present part of it, it seems like, and he said, well, the key is willingness. And I've read through that book and tried to take it in. But it seems when I try to be willing about things, then my current depression says, well, I don't want it. And I don't want it. And so I guess I'm still mixed up between the willingness and the I don't want to, and what, you know, does that mean to be present? I shouldn't be taking meds. I shouldn't be doing... modifying my behavior, etc. Where the heck does depression really live in all this stuff? Right. My psychiatrist said that. He said you want to get better or worse, right? I said, you bet. I'm tired of being stuck.
Uh-huh.
What about if where you are is is how it is?
And your psychiatrist asked you that.
Pardon?
Your psychiatrist asked you that.
Right.
That's very good, isn't it?
So good it's scary.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I sort of I'm sort of a left brainer for the most part, and I get lost at what even to try next.
Okay, Well, of course, there isn't any next. See, that's
yep.
the secret,
okay.
right?
That's...
Yeah. So now, in Zen, there's an image of this work that we're doing. And so here's the American way is that you walk out on a rainy night, and it's a downpour, and you just get drenched immediately. Okay? That's the American approach to life. So we don't carry umbrellas because we just want to go out there and experience it all immediately. Okay? But the image in Zen is of walking through a mist. And you're dressed for the weather, and so you're never uncomfortable as you walk along, but slowly, over time, as you walk, the mist just begins to penetrate until your clothes are actually soaked. Can you picture the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the one, it's actually quite uncomfortable if you've ever, you probably have, huh, living in Chicago. You've had that experience.
At least once.
Yeah, at least once. And you just feel kind of hammered by it. The other is not unpleasant at all. It's just a slow, gradual kind of process. And that's what we're doing. And as Americans, it's the most difficult thing because our conditioning is constantly saying, sooner, sooner, faster, more, more. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. All right? So that's my first encouragement is patience. And to know that this is a process that you're doing. Everything in your life that you've done has been a process. We just forget what kind of a process it is. Okay, so it took you a long time to get to the point in your life where you could pick up the phone and dial and then deliver a communication like the one you just delivered. It took a long, long time. But it's so easy and comfortable for you now that if we were to compare this and say you don't speak French, if you decided you were going to learn French, within a very short period of time, you would have expectations of yourself that you would be able to do in French what you just did in English. Are you with me?
So that's an assumption you're making, or do you want me to make?
Well, don't you think that would be the case?
Depends on...
Do you think if you were going to learn French that you would give yourself... How many years did it take you to get to the point where you could articulate what you articulated to me when you first got on the phone line?
60.
Yeah. But would you give yourself that kind of leeway in learning French? Or would you expect that you should be able to do it more quickly?
I don't think I would expect myself to be that good at it, that if at all, because it does take time.
That's right.
I'd expect at some point to be able to be better than I am at the beginning of it, though.
That's right. And the same thing is true with awareness practice. The same exact thing. So to realize it's going to take you a while to assimilate this, for it to sink in that mist sort of way. Okay? So that's number one. Your psychiatrist wisely encouraged you to consider that where you are might be where you stay. Right, so if you were closed up in something, somebody boarded all the windows and doors, and there you are in your house, and the first whatever period of time would be spent trying to get out. Now, hopefully, if you got to the point of realizing you weren't going to get out, this is it, then you would set about finding the possibility in being where you are. Okay, so I'm never going to get out of here. So how can I be blissfully happy and content right here in these circumstances? That's right. Not how am I going to get somewhere else, because that's not an option. Right where I am, right here. How can I be the happiest human being who ever was on the planet right here in these circumstances? That's what we're going for. Because it's here. It's not somewhere else. It's not when you get better, when you figure it out, when you're properly medicated, when you get over depression, it's right now.
So that's right? are you saying it's right now with or without behavior mod, with or without meds?
Well, it's wherever you are.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
so it's my choice or my willingness to move off of a certain spot if where I am I think is helpful to use meds or therapy.
That's right. And if it's with an attitude of mind, remember that one, I love you exactly the way you are and I'll help you be however you want to be?
Yep, and I just heard that same thing in a session out here when a couple of the monastery monks were out here.
Uh-huh.
By one of the attendees, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Exactly that
same thing. It's everywhere, isn't it?
I can't hide.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we're up against, and that's the opportunity that's available to us. Again, if it were somewhere else in another moment, despair would be the only intelligent response. But it's not that we have to be different. We don't have to go somewhere else. We don't have to understand something. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to change. It's right now. It's an acceptance of what is right now. It's what makes it a magical process. And in the instant that you are able to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to exactly what is, you are free. So it's not a matter of where you are, it's a matter of who is perceiving. What are you identified with? Are you identified with a separate self who suffers, who is having an experience that he doesn't want to have in life, who doesn't like this, who's the wrong person, who's however that is? Or are you identified as conscious, compassionate awareness? From that place of conscious, compassionate awareness, you'll have great sympathy for this guy. Okay? And you'd be willing, from conscious, compassionate awareness, to do anything for him. But you'd have no need at all for him to change.
Without going into a conditioned state here, there are times when I actually feel like I'm really at that spot.
Yes.
And I can do that.
Yes.
And about the time I act from that is when I look around and get all sorts of other conditioned responses from those institutions and those people that I'm involved with. And those are not necessarily supportive.
Well, you know,
and then I don't know what to do.
Okay. Now, what the Buddha taught, supposedly, his last sentence on this earth, you must work out your own salvation diligently. At some point, you're going to have to accept that you are the only one who can be an expert on you.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a road each one of us has to walk alone. We can get support from everywhere. We never want to move into a place of arrogant dismissal, refusal to be open to, but ultimately, you're the one who has to make the decision.
So
that's why we want to practice really hard, coming back to center, dropping the conditioning, getting here, getting into that place of unconditional love and acceptance, conscious, compassionate awareness. And from that place, allow whatever action or non-action is there to arise.
So you don't have to do it alone, but you still have to do it yourself.
You have to take responsibility. You do. That's the primary thing at the monastery. It's what the monks train and practice with all the time. Letting go of control, taking absolute responsibility. It's the hardest thing for a conditioned human.
Yeah. I was afraid we might get to that point. I will let you go. Thank you for the time,
right,
Michael, and say hello to Melinda and Deb for me at the monastery if you get that way.
I'll do it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, George. Sherry, what a show.
Yeah, what great callers, huh?
Yes. Time has just flown by here.
Mm-hmm.
Our hour's gone.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, in a couple of weeks, we'll have 2 hours.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. And people can tune in all over the world, right? Even though it won't be a call-in show, because
Absolutely.
We're going to have a live audience there in the auditorium with us, but
yes,
we can still all tune in together. And then from 5 to 7 on Tuesday night, December the
2nd.
And then the next week, we can continue the discussion.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And next week, we can continue the discussion.
And next week, we can continue the discussion, too. Yes, mm-hmm. That's 2 weeks from tonight. It's at Toyon Hall on the Stanford University campus. Please make plans to join us. I'd like to thank Lori and Jay. We've kept them very busy today. Lots of callers, and we actually had to leave a couple callers on the line there. So I'd like to encourage them to call back next week.
Yes, a very a heartfelt invitation to talk to us next week.
Absolutely. If you want to reach us in the meantime, you can email us at openair@kzsu.org, and you can listen to archives of previous shows at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. Coming up next, we have DJ Decca with a special all-Japanese show. And we'll see you all next week.